Lecture 2, Argument by Desire, Surprised by Joy, and the Pilgrim's Regress.
In this second lecture, we shall consider again the biography of C.S. Lewis, but from a radically different perspective, that of his inner spiritual journey. We shall see how Lewis, in both his non-fictional and fictional autobiographies, defined his movement towards Christianity in terms of joy and desire, and how the centrality of that desire in his conversion functioned as one of Lewis's main apologetics. In his autobiography, Surprised by Joy, C.S. Lewis explains that throughout his childhood, he experienced brief but profound moments of longing. And Lewis had a word for those moments of longing, and that word was simply joy. Now, when Lewis used the word joy, he did not just mean happiness. By joy, he meant an intense, overwhelming desire for an indefinable, numinous something that was just beyond his grasp. Joy, that is, was a feeling, but a feeling that pointed beyond itself. It was an intimation of some higher, generally spiritual reality. Again, not an end in itself, but a means to some higher end. Now, Lewis argued, if one tried to hold on to the feeling of joy and enjoy it as an end in itself, it would quickly vanish. And Lewis liked to use the metaphor of Orpheus and Eurydice. Some of you know the myth that Hades allowed Orpheus to take his wife Eurydice out of the underworld. But he was told that as he ascended the stairs to the world again, he could not look back at her. Well, he's doing fine till he gets to the very end. He gets nervous. He turns back for a glance and watches Eurydice pulled back into the underworld. Again, if we stop and look at the feeling and treasure it as an end in itself, we lose the joy. Likewise, if we try greedily to reproduce the feeling, it would never come. In fact, it is only when the mind forgets itself and seeks something else that the joy comes. Joy is not a manufacturing of a religious experience. If you try to make the emotion or hold on to the emotion, it doesn't come, or worse, you lose it. You've got to not be seeking it, and then it comes. We'll understand more as we go through the lecture today. Now, Lewis had another word for joy, and it's the German word Sehnsucht, which means longing. But more often, he uses the word joy. Now, before considering the theological and philosophical import of joy, let us first examine some specific examples of joy in the life of C.S. Lewis. And I will be quoting from Surprised by Joy, his autobiography. Lewis's first encounter with joy occurred when his brother Warren, or Warney, showed him a toy garden made of moss and twigs arranged on the lid of a biscuit tin. Well, Lewis tells us, his glimpse of that garden and his later recollection of that glimpse transported the young Lewis to an Eden of moist and fertile greenness. And we're talking about a cheesy little thing on a tin. We're not talking about anything beautiful. But for some reason, it caught Lewis and gave him an intimation of some greater spiritual reality. In fact, Lewis wrote, "As long as I live, my imagination of paradise will retain something of my brother's toy garden." Lewis is not being facetious or cute here. He meant that. Always, his view of heaven had that glimpse that he first felt when he saw the toy garden. The next encounter of joy in his early childhood now came when he read Beatrix Potter's Squirrel Nutkin, an experience, Lewis said, that troubled him with the idea of autumn. We'd say you get goosebumps, you feel something beyond yourself. That's what Lewis is getting at. One more. A third encounter, also literary, came when the young Lewis's eyes caught suddenly these words on a book. "I heard a voice that cried, Balder the Beautiful is dead, is dead." Now, at this point, Lewis didn't know much about Norse mythology, didn't even know who Balder was. But he says when he read those words, a flash of desire hit him, and he suddenly felt a sense of cold, remote northern regions. He would later call this northernness.